The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy
with Nissan
on News Talk.
It's 7 o'clock. Good morning. Explosions and warning sirens have been heard this morning in some of Ukraine's major cities after Russia's president ordered a military operation into the eastern part of the country. Vladimir Putin claims his orders will protect people in breakaway regions who he says have been subject to bullying and genocide, and he's warned other nations not to intervene. The Ukrainian president has advised people to stay home.
Now, that was Shane Beattie of our own News Talk. This was 6 months ago to the day when Russia began a conflict against Ukraine. Extraordinary, forbidding words and forbidding clip. And here we are 6 months later, and there is absolutely no sign that that conflict is going to end. There's no sign of it easing. And as we all know, today is Ukraine Independence Day. So there's a lot of reasons, a double reason, to talk about the conflict with my next guest, who is the ambassador of Ukraine to Ireland, Larissa Goresco. So, Ambassador, looking at this part of the conflict, because I think it's important to know that this is a conflict that didn't start initially earlier this year, but is part of a wider conflict that goes back earlier than that. But just taking it from the events earlier this year, there doesn't seem to be much peace negotiations going on. The conflict is, it's not sort of losing any pace or intensity. There seems to be just ongoing clashes, particularly in the eastern part of the country. Would you think it's fair to describe it as just a pure deadlock at this stage?
What I want to say is that despite all odds, Ukraine has withstood 6 months of a massive all-out military assault by Russian army. And we managed to liberate a number of territories. And as you know, some foreign observers predicted in the very beginning, in February, that Ukraine would fall in just in 3 days or 1 week. But we has managed to liberate Kyiv, Chernihiv, Sumy region, stabilized the front line in the east. And we are preparing to liberate more land and Kherson region as well. What we see now that Russian forces are focused on holding their position and actually preventing Ukraine's counterattack. The front line is more or less stable. As our president Volodymyr Zelensky has said, that this week Russia may try to do something particularly cruel to humiliate Ukrainians and sow fear, because Russia likes and Russian leaders like symbolism and symbolic dates, as they invaded next day after the Russians' military forces' day. So we will see.
And I mean, it's important to give our listeners just an idea, and you can probably do it more justice than I can, to the horrifying conditions on the ground, particularly in the eastern part of the country. Like a city like Mariupol has been effectively almost wiped off the map. I mean, these are just terrible events. I mean, do you find it hard to almost kind of translate these events to people in Ireland who you deal with every day, who are... We're living in relative comfort, more than relative comfort, to what's going on in Ukraine. Do you find it hard personally to almost relate what's happening to the country back to an audience here in Ireland? That must be a real challenge in your role.
You know, that city of Mariupol was destroyed almost on 95%, and we don't know exact number, how many number of civilians who have been killed, but like what we know, it's tens thousand for sure. And all of us, we saw these images of cruelty and images of atrocities. And of course, many, many, many people who survived from Mariupol, not only from Mariupol, from Donbas as well, and from Kharkiv, evacuated, actually moved from this territory and fled Ukraine. I have met many our nationals from Mariupol and Kharkiv and Donbas here in the island as well, and many of them passed through these filtration camps. Just imagine 21st century, and Russia established these filtration camps. I saw these documents from these filtration camps, and I have heard this horrible, really horrible story. How it was.
Okay. I can just imagine what that's like. We now play host to 40,000 Ukrainians here in Ireland, and they've all got individual needs. Some of them were left and came to Ireland at the start of the conflict, some in more recent weeks. We know that a lot of them, some of them were accommodated on college campuses and so on. Some of them obviously will have children going back to school in September. And I noticed from looking on various platforms and forums that Ukrainians in Ireland use, a lot of them have been moved in recent weeks from their original location, so they have to lose their school place and move again. Some of them are obviously leaving college campuses because the students are taking their place. So can you give us any idea? It's a very complex picture, I know, but what exactly is happening with Ukrainians in Ireland? Where, how many of them are being moved? How many of them are ready to go back to school as normal? And just give us an idea of what's going on the ground.
I don't know the exact number of Ukrainians who moved to another locations because, you know, like, for instance, I know many, many Ukrainians who live here, who moved from one location to another like three times or even more. Of course, it's very hard and difficult for children, especially for children. Of course, we understand. Okay, our people are looking for shelter here, temporarily shelter, and at the same time, we understand that Irish people in Ireland is facing a problem and housing challenges. I'm deeply concerned on this situation, of course, and I hope that the Irish government will manage and will find solution in order to grant to our people at least more or less long term, I would say, accommodation.
Yes,
especially for women and children, with the small children.
And what are the conditions like for Ukrainians here now? I mean, are they getting better, worse? Like, what's your assessment of, because the squeeze on accommodation seems to be getting worse and worse. Obviously, there's more and more people coming in. So many Ukrainians would have thought, oh, I'm going to be here 3 or 4 months. This is going to be a short-term conflict. A lot of people in the media thought that as well. So can you give us an idea how you see this all playing out over the next, say, 6 months to 12 months? Because you know the numbers are tight. So are you in close liaison with the government here on finding new solutions or new ways to address this this accommodation squeeze?
I am in contact with the Irish government with about housing issue, and as I know, that the government has a special plan for granting or for providing accommodation for Ukrainians, I'm sure that you know as well about that. It's I'm talking about refurbishing old houses, etc. So I hope all our Ukrainians will get accommodation. For now, like most of Ukrainians are satisfied by the quality of the accommodation. They are very grateful to Irish people and to the government, of course. They feel safe here, and of course, Ireland is a very safe place for sure, and they have access to the education and to the medical care system, etc. Many Ukrainians are leaving country, not only Ireland, but across the world. Many Ukrainians have returned to Ukraine. As well, so like more than 2 million have returned.
Ambassador, I'm gonna be a bit tighter in time, so I just want to get to one final thing I wanted to ask you a little bit about, and it's probably more the domestic political scene. Obviously, you're mixing with a lot of the politicians, you're getting to see them up close, and what their commitment is to the Ukrainian cause. Were you in any way disappointed or kind of surprised even at some of the comments a few weeks ago by the president's wife, which caught a lot of people by surprise, I suppose? Did you have any reaction to that, or what was your perspective when you heard that?
Irish support and support of the government of Ireland and your stance is very well known in Europe, in Ukraine, and in Ireland as well. I have a couple of meetings with the president of Ireland as well. He condemned the invasion, Russian invasion.
Are they meetings to come, or have you had them in more recent weeks?
No, probably last meeting was a couple months ago.
All right, like,
not recently.
Would you like to sit down with them again, or just to make sure everyone is on the same diplomatic hymn sheet?
I am very open to all meetings with representatives of all parties, with all politicians, of course.
Okay, well, maybe a meeting with D. Higgins is plural might be an interesting one, but it sounds like you're very close to their different opinion strands in Irish politics at the moment on the subject. But you are right, there seems to be a fair bit.
Ireland is a very democratic country, and you know, the freedom of speech is one of the main values, so everyone can express own opinion. So it's
maybe a meeting between yourself and Mrs. Higgins might work. What do you think?
Of course. Why not? I'm very open.
Yeah. Okay. Well, listen, it's a really important milestone day, Ukraine Independence Day. It's been a horrifying 6 months for everybody involved in this. Let's hope there's something better awaiting. The grain deal recently might be the sign of a small little glimmer of hope in the whole situation. But thank you very much for coming on The Hard Shoulder this evening. This is the ambassador, Ukrainian ambassador to Ireland, Ambassador Larissa Ogarisco. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you so much.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With Nissan.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.